With me right now in the studio family, we do have Chef.
This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
See, Paul? It is so exciting to have you with us. I am, as soon as I heard you are coming, I was like, my goodness! I started to scream. So you must realize what this means to me.
Oh, wow.
Chef Sipho, how are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm good. And thank you for having me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, sure.
Shocking.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm excited to be here, and thank you. Thank you so much.
Your story is a very impactful story. It's a story that really touched my heart, you know, just to find out, you know, how brave you've been, how courageous you've been, and how you've let nothing stop you from your dream. And I think this afternoon, that's what we want to unpack, you know. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you? How have you managed to do that? There are people that are sitting in places or in organizations where they don't want to be, or in careers where they don't want to be in, but they don't know how, you know, they don't know where to start. And I think this conversation is really to speak to that woman out there, and to say it's possible. You too can live your dream, like me, Chef Sipho Gazi. Master chef, in fact. So I think just to start off, I would like you to please just introduce yourself to the listeners, you know, those that don't know you, and to really just tell us a little bit more about growing up. I know that you grew up in the Eastern Cape, dusty Eastern Cape, in the rural areas, and here you are today looking all glammed up. But yeah, just to paint that picture for us, you know, bangubani
Usipho Gazi. Yes. Oh, Usipho Gazi. My name is Sipho Gazi Mdlankomo. I grew up in the Eastern Cape. You know, I was raised by a single mother with the help of my grandmother. I have four siblings, and I'm the eldest, you know. And we see some dala. Yes. But yeah, you know what? Growing up in the Eastern Cape back then, you know, in the rural areas, there was nothing, you know. You know, if you want to go to town, there's only one van. You know, you have to wait for that one
van.
And
you have to wake up very early.
Very early.
The body is leaving.
Yes.
I can relate. I know.
Yeah. And yeah, I would say I was a naughty child, you know. I remember my mother said when I passed my matric, she didn't want me to go to a boarding school. I wanted to go to a boarding school to have some freedom. And my mother said, no, I was Kwalapo. Yes, because she wanted to make sure that I'm there. Yes. I'm always there as a girl. But yeah, my grandmother and my mother, they played a very important role in my life. Yes. So yeah, oh, sure, those two women, we never went to sleep without food, you know. You know, we would wake up as a little girl. I knew what to do, you know, every morning, okay? You have to wake up, you make your bed, you know, even if it's not a bed, even it's a mattress.
But you need to make your bed.
Yes, you go to the kitchen, which is a rondavel, you know, you make some fire, you make some tea for the elders, you know, you do
a lot of work.
I know that you would think kids nowadays, they will say, that's abusive.
Mm.
Yes, but now it's one thing I knew every day I must do, you know, it's to do the house chores, cooking and everything, you know, do some washing, everything, you know. So
and
yeah,
and at that time it wasn't hard. It wasn't like you didn't feel abused. You felt like this is what I need to do.
No, I didn't feel abused that time. You know, it was something I needed to do. You know, it was expected. You know, of for a girl to do that.
You mustn't be lazy. As a girl child. Wow. Sipho, and then, Chef Sipho, then you came to Cape Town. Your journey is Eastern Cape. You matriculated. And then, where's the Ekapa? And then in Cape Town, of course, I'm sure it must have been a very different experience for you. You know, just transitioning. How was that for you? From a rural girl to city life. The big lights, as I say, how was that for you?
I still remember to this day, the first day I arrived in Cape Town. You know, when you grow up in the rural areas, you don't speak English. Yes. You know, even at school, Now I'm here. I am in this big city. I have to learn how to speak English. But luckily for me, Yes, I was very inquisitive. You know, even the teachers at my junior school, you know, they knew that this one, she wanted to be something.
She's gonna go far.
Yeah, she's going to go far. So here I am. I could barely speak English. You know, but you know what? There's nothing I can do. I'm here in Cape Town now.
I have to hustle.
Yes, because I left my son back with my mother, and he was, I think he was 2 months old. Sure. Yes.
And at this time, you're also a teenage mother.
I was 19 when I had my son. So you remember I said I was naughty. I had no choice to just leave him, you know, come and look for a job in Cape Town. And luckily for me, because, you know, I think God loves me. I would say that God loves me, and people just look at me and love me. I'm not gonna say people just look at me and feel sorry for. No, nobody feels sorry for me. If you look at me, and you just love.
God's love.
Yes,
in you.
You just fell in love with me. So, I met this old man in Camps Bay because that's when I started working in a guest house. And he's the one who said Sipho, because he couldn't pronounce my name.
Sipoka.
Yes. Yeah, he couldn't pronounce Sipoka.
the letter part was a problem.
Said, okay, it's fine. I'll call you, Sipho. And I said, it's fine. And he said, okay, I'm going to write a note, then I'm going to go put it at a spa in Sipho.
Excellent.
Yes. And he wrote a note, and this is Sipho looking for a char or job, whatever, and he put it there. Within 2 days, a lady called me. And I went there all proud, like, okay, yeah, okay, I'm going to start working now. But again, I was scared, a little bit scared, because it was my first time going to work for, sorry to say, going to work for white people, So the first thing I said to the lady, she asked me, do you know how to cook? And I said, yes, I know how to cook, but I know
traditional food.
Exactly. And she said, you know what? It's fine. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you how I want my food to be done. And that's what she did. And she showed me.
Wow.
Yes, you know, I was so fortunate. You know, everything was like, people were... We're like, how did you do it? You've been in Cape Town not even a week and you got a job, you know, like, because people, they are here for years, and and they're still looking for jobs. And I'm like, I don't know. That's why I said, God loves me.
God's grace. God's grace. No one can stop God's grace.
No.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. And then, Chef Sipho, you then journey on and and just working as a domestic worker now, how was that for you? You know, I'm also, my mom was a domestic worker. She's recently retired. So I know the works of, you know, being a domestic worker. And she also worked for a very kind family in the Fresnay area. You know those areas, Ventrufe, Fresnay.
Posh areas.
Very posh areas. And so and so, for you, how was that experience, you know? And I know that you then moved from another family, from Ventrufe to Newlands now. And I just want you to describe just that feeling of working as a domestic worker.
You know,
for you personally.
Yes. First of all, I would say, you know, I have respect for all the domestic workers out there. You know, those people, they are doing an amazing job. Because I know, I've been there. You know, you manage somebody else's house. You know, it's as if this is your house.
Yes. I get it.
You must know everything. You know, you can't say, if your boss asks you, where did I put my pants, you said no. You can't say that. You know, you have to know everything. You know, so yeah, you are the manager, you are the security, you are everything. You know, so I have respect for those people. For me, I would say I loved doing that. You know, one thing I always tell people: you must do the job just because you love it. You know, don't do a job just for the sake of doing it. I was a domestic worker, and I loved doing it because, first of all, I got somebody who treated me, how can I put it, who treated me like I was family. You know, it was as if
you know, you're part of the family, and you're a sister.
Like, I was part of the family. It was amazing. I remember Granny said to me, I used to call her Granny, Fame, may she rest in peace. She said, you know what, Sipho, I can see there's something in you. You are passionate. Would you like to go overseas? Because my son lives overseas in Canada.
Wow.
Yeah. Would you want to go and be an au pair overseas? You remember, I didn't even know what that was. So I had to ask, what is that, Granny?
And she, yes. Before I say yes.
And she explained to and she said, okay, if it's what you really want, I'm going to organize everything. Okay, this is what you need to do. Go home and tell your parents that, okay, you're going to go overseas.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to do everything for you. I was supposed to go on the weekend, which is the Saturday. And Granny passed away on Thursday.
Kusiam.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That broke my heart.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and again, I was like, okay, maybe it was not
meant to be.
You know?
Yeah,
yes, it was not meant to be. So that then I had to look for another job. That's when I started working in Newlands. Yes. Yeah. And again, in Newlands, I found someone who treated me like family.
Wow.
You know, I'm the luckiest girl.
You're lucky. God is good to you, sister. Wow.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like, being treated the way you were, it made you feel at home, you know. It gave you that ability to do the work and to really be passionate about the work, because, you know, I feel like I'm part of this family and I'm allowed to do my work. And I think that is where the passion for cooking and for experimenting with various dishes came from you.
Yes.
You know, just that ability to be free.
Yeah. I was not scared to just tell Liz, okay, Liz, can you just give me your credit card? I want to go to Pick and Pay and buy some
food for the house.
For the house, you know, so that I can start cooking whatever. And she didn't limit me. She just let me do whatever I wanted to do because she saw that, okay, this person, you know, she loves cooking. She, I remember when she was doing her kitchen.
Yes.
Because I'm short, you know.
Dynamite company, small packages, definitely.
She was like, okay, you know what? I want to make these cupboards so that you'll be able to reach. Yes, all her cupboards, they were like, there were no high.
Wow.
No high cupboards. And she put a TV in the kitchen for me to watch all my programs, all my cooking programs. That's how she loved me.
Sure.
You know, so she treated me like family. And, you know, that woman, you know, I call her my second mom. You know, she is amazing. So that's when all my love for cooking started growing. And I say we are soulmates in the kitchen.
I love it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Super wow. And then I think because of Liz, then you are able then to even understand these cooking shows and enter the various cooking competitions. And then I want you to tell us a little bit more about that, the highlight of participating in cooking shows. How was that for you?
Oh my goodness, I loved watching MasterChef. You know, it could be MasterChef Australia and South Africa, UK. I loved it. And I said to Liz, you know what, if there is another season of MasterChef South Africa that's coming, I want to enter.
Brave.
And she was like, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. And she said, okay, it's fine. If it's what you want, I'm going to support you.
Wow.
100%. And she did that. I promise you. She supported me up until the end.
Wow.
I remember the day she asked me, okay, because you need to go and audition first. Do you have clothes to wear? And I said, no. And she took me to buy some new clothing. And she took me to go to buy some ingredients so that I can cook the dish to go and audition. And the day of the audition, her husband, Sean, he took me early in the morning. Yes, to go and audition. And I remember that day there was a young man passing by. I wish, I don't know. He didn't know me.
Maybe he's listening now.
He said he was going to work. He said, you're gonna win this. Just like that.
Sure.
I don't know him. I've never seen him.
Wow.
And to this day, I don't know who it was. And I just, you know,
brushed it off.
Yes. Wow, and that was my highlight, you know. But at the same time, I knew I was confident entering MasterChef, but at the same time, I knew that there are other contestants out there who are also passionate, you know. They've been everywhere, unlike me. I'm a domestic worker. I'm not gonna lie, you know. Deep down, I had that feeling, say, oh, okay, you are
you
here.
Feel it's like it's that thing that they describe as imposter syndrome, that you feel like you're not supposed to be there, you're not worthy.
But again, I was like, no, man, I'm here to do
for a reason.
For a reason. Yes, I'm here to do what I love doing. I'm here to cook. I'm not here to just to impress, you know. I'm gonna do what I love doing, cooking. I'm going to show these judges that I can cook.
I'm
not going to pretend, you know. One thing about people, they like to pretend. I didn't
to
pretend
to be authentic.
Yes, mm-hmm. I was just sipokazi, you know. If I wanted to cook semp, I cooked semp, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to cook pap, I cooked pap. Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah, you need to be yourself
authentic.
In whatever mm-hmm. you do. Be yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's just so much, so many nuggets from your story, you know, just the power of support, the power of people believing in mm-hmm. you, pushing you and speaking, you know, words of information in you, you know, so that you can also start believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. There's power in that. Mm-hmm. And I think also being yourself, being authentic, mm-hmm. showing up as yourself in any given mm-hmm. situation, mm-hmm. you know, and don't try and be anyone else. You've recently traveled to India. Tell us about that experience. Ooh. And experimenting with various dishes in India.
Oh my goodness. Again, you know, God loves me, people.
Amen. God's favorite child. God's favorite
yes,
child.
Because the lady, she just said, I didn't know him. And she was looking for a second chef. She said, wait a minute. There is this chef, Sipokazi. I've seen her on MasterChef. Mm. Can somebody give me her contact details? I need to speak to her. Yes.
Ha.
Yeah.
I need to spend more time with you.
We didn't know each other. So, and she phoned me as, I'm not going to say who, and I'm like, okay, I've seen you and I fell in love with you on MasterChef and I know you are good. I want you to come to India and show some South African cuisine, you know, in India. And I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. You know, for me, it was unreal. I was like, is this for real? Is she playing with me or what is happening?
Is it
happening?
A joke? Is, yeah. Is it really going to happen?
What is happening here?
Wow.
Yeah, but it was real, you know. And yeah, I did my thing even in India. I was like, okay, this is me. This is real me. Mm. Okay, I'm here to show Indians what South African cuisine is all about. Yeah. You know. And I did that.
I saw on your social media, I mean, you were killing it, sister.
Thank you.
So, out of all the dishes that you've made many dishes in your career as a chef. What would you say is your most favorite dish and why?
I know I've been asked that question so many times and my answer is the same.
Consistent.
Yeah, I don't have a favorite dish. Whatever I cook, everything I cook it with love. Whatever
that.
I put out there, you know, it's my favorite, you know, because it's cooked with love. I put love and passion in everything I do, you know. If I cook, I'm the happiest girl on earth. If I'm in front of the stove, I always tell people, you must sing to your pots, you know, and you can't cook when you are angry.
To your pots. I love it. You gotta
because
sing.
If you are angry, your food is gonna tell that this person was angry. And
you know, normally they used to say, ekhaya, you know, growing up in the rules as well, uzokulisa abantu, you know, people will be sick because of the food that you've made if you've made it when, while you're angry. Wow. So every dish that you make with passion, you make with love, and you are authentically you. Everywhere, and you know, you show up as yourself.
Yes.
So, Chef Sipokazi, what does the future hold for you? I know that currently you are an ambassador, and you're obviously a celebrity chef. So, tell us about that work and what you're doing currently.
Wow, again, like, you know, after not winning MasterChef, I was angry because I went there. Wanted to win, you know. If you go to the competition, if you enter the competition, you
the
are
aim
there,
is to win.
Is to win, not to come second. No.
Oh, you're hard on yourself.
I know.
Why?
Yeah. That, sure, I was very angry. I'm not going to lie. You know.
But then the opportunity, though, I feel like competitions also open up doors of opportunity for a person or an individual.
Yes, it does. You know, so. But I didn't realize that because
at that time,
my mind
you
was
wanna win.
On, yes.
I understand.
Then I came back, you know. All of a sudden, I believe I was the favorite. I was the country's favorite.
Wow. Yeah.
So everywhere definitely. I go, people would recognize me. People, even this day, they think I'm the winner.
Mm.
And I didn't win, guys. You know, I came second.
But you won the nation.
So I was like, okay, I don't have anything. I didn't win. Mm. So the only choice I have now is to go back again to being a domestic worker. Mm. That's what I did. But again, is it what I want to do for the rest of my life? The answer was no.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? Okay, let me just do a cookbook first, which is my little black recipe book. And I did that, and the recipes that are there are just the recipes I've cooked, you know, for all the people that I've worked for. And yeah, I did the book because I was angry. I wanted something to be out there, yes.
That represents you.
Yes. So not knowing, you know, back I was not even on social media at that time, and I didn't even know what my target market. I just wanted a book out there, you know. I wasn't thinking straight. I just wanted a book, you know, because you know I'm crying. I didn't.
It was gonna heal your heart.
Yes. Yeah, and I did that, and all along. Sean, which is Liz's husband,
yes,
was organizing something, and he didn't tell me. You know, he kept quiet. I was still working for them, and he kept quiet. And he was organizing something. You know, sure. He kept on going to meetings, not knowing where. You know,
what's going on?
What's going on? And when they called me and. They set me down, and he said, okay, this day you're going to go with Liz at Pick and Pay. You're going to meet this person and this person. I've organized a job for you. You know, you're going to be the brand ambassador for Pick and Pay.
Wow.
I was like, what? Like, I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Like, I cried, you know, because, okay, first of all, I'm a domestic worker. Being a brand ambassador, doesn't need someone who's educated?
I don't have a degree.
You know, with the little knowledge I had back then, you know. Not
sure.
Yeah, and we went there. And yeah, you know, that's the... Wow. You know, they have helped me. So, yeah, he organized that job for me. And to this day, I'm still the brand ambassador for Pick and Pay, you know. And they are still, you know, they are still supporting me. You know, I know the first person I call, even if I'm sick, is Liz.
It's Liz.
And she would be there. I remember, I'm always a cry baby. Yes. And I phoned her the other day. I said, Liz, I have something in my eye. I had like a swollen eye. And she said, okay, you must run down to the emergency clinic. And I went down to the emergency clinic immediately. And within few minutes, and she was there,
wow,
right next to me, and I was like, this woman, you know, she would drop everything, you know, yeah, she would do anything for me, you know. So yeah, I will always tell people, okay, if you work for someone, you must make sure that person is not take them as your family,
not as a boss.
No. Make the person you work for as your family, and you will see. There's always what do they call a Samaritan,
a good Samaritan,
out there. You know, you never know
who, that can change your situation and literally change your whole life. Wow, Chef Sphokazi, well, Sphokazi Mdlankomo, also known as Chef Sphokazi, thank you so much for being with us. But I think one more thing is, what does the future hold for you? We don't have to speak, you know, too far in the future. We can just say this year of 2022, what are sort of the things that are on the line for you?
I'm not going to lie. Honestly, there's nothing at the moment because of COVID. You know, I would love to go back to TV. TV is my
passion.
Yeah, I'm passionate about it. You know, I love it. But because of COVID, I understand. You know, the brands, they don't have money. You know, so I'm still struggling to find sponsors. You know, to do a cooking show. But I would love to do that.
A cooking show. So that is the goal.
Yeah.
We pray that God will provide the resources that you need for that cooking show, and that you'll go back to TV and you will continue to do what you're passionate about. And thank you so much for reaching out to us and for making this time to have a conversation and to really tell your story so that we can hear your heart. You know, thank you so much. And how can people get a hold of you on social media?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Chef Sipho Gourmet Food. Yes, and on Facebook, it's Chef Sipho Gourmet Meals. Yes, I do videos and everything. You can find me there.
Thank you, Chef Sipho. You have shown us that all things are possible when you believe in yourself, when you are brave, and when you don't give up. Thank you very much and blessings to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Siyabulela.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.